Okay, welcome everybody to the True Crime News. I'm Morgan Rector.
And I am Rachel Telfor.
And today we're beginning with a classic child abuse story. Not classic in that everyone knows about it, but the headline is Arkansas Man Pleads Guilty to Soliciting and Paying for the Production of a Video Depicting a 9-Year-Old Child Being Molested. He's from Arkansas, but this happened in Jacksonville, Florida. So, lucky you.
Cody? Oh, you know, I don't have any Florida stories tonight. Interesting.
I think I have two, actually.
Good for you.
Cody Dylan Hogan, 26, from Leechville, Arkansas, has pleaded guilty to using the internet to solicit and pay an individual to molest a 9-year-old child and to creating a video recording depicting this sexual abuse. Hogan faces a mandatory minimum penalty of 15 years and up to 30 years in federal prison and a potential life term of supervised release. Hogan was arrested on November 9th, 2020 at his residence in Arkansas and remains in custody. A sentencing date has not yet been set. According to court documents, in December 2019, an undercover FBI agent in Jacksonville who was posing as a parent of a 9-year-old child made contact with Hogan in a particular online chat application. During an online session, Hogan, using the online name Stone Telephone, sent the undercover agent a photo of his own genitalia and asked for, quote, naughty, unquote, photos of the purported 9-year-old child. Hogan offered to pay the parent, so-called, to create and send him a video of a child, unquote, being sexually abused. Hogan gave specific instructions as to how he wanted to see the so-called child molested in the video, and he sent the agent a $50 gift card as payment for the requested video. For several weeks, Hogan continued to solicit the undercover agent to produce and send him a video of the 9-year-old so-called child being molested, and he provided advice on various ways to send it to him over the internet using group sharing accounts and online cloud storage. During one particular online chat, Hogan stated, "After I see this video there, could be all kinds of money and requests coming your way. LOL. Subsequently, FBI agents and other law enforcement officers executed a federal search warrant at Hogan's residence in Arkansas and placed him under arrest. During an interview with FBI agents, Hogan admitted that he had engaged in online conversations with the mother of a 9-year-old child about producing and sending him a pornographic video of the child. He also stated that he had successfully solicited at least 3 other children to produce and send him sexually explicit photos of themselves. A search of Hogan's cell phone and his homemade computer revealed that these devices contained hundreds of videos and images depicting the sexual abuse of young children, including sadistic and masochistic conduct." Well, there's no stopping these people, huh? It doesn't matter how steep the penalties get, they just keep doing it.
What was the payment for the with the $50 gift card?
That was for the video, but I think he wanted, like, multiple videos, so he offered to send him that and other payments as well.
Okay, great. That's awesome. Also, he put some time into suggesting on how to back up these files and save them on the cloud, so that's just good stuff.
Yeah, he wanted to direct and produce these videos. He had a script and everything, you know?
What a douche.
I guess, yeah, I didn't know that people could make requests like that. I thought they just kind of made them and threw them out there.
Oh, no, you got to go the extra mile. I'm super salty today, so everyone deal with it. Sorry.
Well, I don't think anyone minds you being salty about these crimes.
Especially over pedophiles.
Yeah. No one would hold that against you, Miller.
Thanks.
My dear.
Although they're probably not my on the top of my... Well, yes, they are. They are now, but regular people have been irritating today.
Yeah, I'm sure they would be. Did you deal with any Karens?
What's the male version of Karens? Because I dealt with a lot of those today.
I don't know. They don't seem to have a name for it yet. I think maybe Ken.
Whatever that is what I dealt with today. And I pride myself in keeping my cool, but it was difficult. It was difficult today.
Oh yeah, was he really petty?
Yeah, super. Can't get into it too much, but just the fucking dumbest thing you could possibly think of to get irritated over and having a 20-minute long conversation about it, which is a waste of my time. So finally, I just agreed and hung up.
That's the thing with Karens, male or female. They're not outraged over really serious shit like child pornography, people being murdered, kidnappings, or anything like that.
There's something not printed correctly on something that is sent, like, oh, this is wrong. You didn't print. Okay, sir. If this is going to be what you're upset up over today, then I'm just going to let you vent. I'm going to listen and place you on mute.
Well, the best example I've seen of a male Karen, it was a montage of those clips on YouTube, and this one guy, he bought an item from like Walmart or something in 2013, and he decided to bring it back like years later, like 8 years later or something, or 6 years later, no receipt, and it was an item that you could find in a lot of different businesses, and he was screaming at them to take it back. And they kept telling him, you have no receipt, and the warranty would have, you know, expired years ago. And he just wouldn't let up, and I think he even started trying to physically attack them at one point.
I wonder if he got what he wanted. I mean, Walmart's pretty loose on their return policy, of all places, but that's a little reaching from 2013.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah, so this pedophile... He'll probably have to. He'll probably take a plea bargain, so he won't end up being in jail.
Probably.
In 3 years, yeah.
We're just gonna call him a big old douche canoe.
Oh yeah. What do you think of the death penalty for these offenses?
I am in favor if it is 100% without a doubt. We've gotten into this conversation before, and I dare be very careful on what I say because I don't want to really piss off everyone. But if a convicted child rapist with DNA is convicted and it is 100% without a doubt provable, I'm sorry, but I'm actually not sorry. I'm for the death penalty. I don't believe you can be rehabilitated in that situation. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I have a bad short-term memory, so I'm definitely going to be asking you things I've asked you before.
That's totally fine. I also do.
Yeah.
We'll work together and maybe find a full memory.
Combined, we'll make one complete person. How about that?
Or at least maybe three quarters of a person, and everyone will just have to deal with that, because that's all we have to give.
Did we discuss chemical castration before? I don't know if we ever discussed that.
With what? I don't think we did.
With
I'm
like
totally in for that.
The only thing is, though, I don't think that's not going to stop molestation. Like, molestation doesn't always involve the...
Correct.
The offender's sex organs that can still touch someone inappropriately.
Yep, so death.
Yeah, that's the thing. So, I mean... And it's also not even necessarily just about sex. It's power. It's an abuse of power.
Yeah, it's other perverse. Or we could sentence them and then put them in Gen Pop.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Or let the parents beat them up.
Yes, I mean something. I can't condone that. Ugh.
Have you seen that video? This guy was charged for molesting a kid, and the kid's father knew that the offender was going to be flown to like another prison or something. And he was like standing by some phone booths in the airport, and he surprised him and shot him right there and then. Have you ever seen that one?
I believe I did. I believe I either saw it or heard about it. And those are the kind of stories which I can't get pissed off at. I would say I would do the exact same. So, and hopefully he wasn't indicted. I don't know if they were lenient on him or how that goes. I mean, technically it's murder, but you'd like to think that some people who would put themselves in that place, because I certainly would, and there'd be a level of leniency, but it's tough here.
Yeah. Well, I got to hand it to the Texas justice system. They seem to believe in an eye for an eye there.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was one man I read about who killed a guy who raped his daughter, and he was acquitted. So
they don't mess around with Texas, man. You think Florida's right. Don't fuck with Texas.
You could end up barbecue. You
know, don't mess with Texas.
That's right. All right, so what's your first story for the week?
So, I think I found some good ones this week. It's funny because we were just talking about how, I don't remember what episode it was, a recent episode, how there hasn't been many serial killers lately in the news. Lo and behold, I run across this little doozy coming out of Mexico City. So I'm interested to see how this comes to light, because it's fairly new. So it just came to light last month, and a lot of other things are going to come out of this, because there's a lot of bodies and a lot of moving parts. Here we go. So the title is, investigators find remains of 17 victims under a suspected serial killer's house. Yeah.
Some John Wayne Gacy action.
Are you ready? I thought you were going to love this. So here we go. Mm-hmm. Investigators digging under the house. And by the way, before I start, the way that they found him is astonishing and mind-blowing. So buckle up, Buttercup.
Okay.
Investigators digging under the house of a suspected serial killer on the outskirts of Mexico City said Saturday they found 3,787 bone fragments so far, apparently belonging to 17 different victims. Prosecutors in the state of Mexico, which borders Mexico City, suggested the grisly finds may not end there. In excavations carried out since May 17th, authorities have dug up the floors of the house where the suspect lived. They now plan to extend the search to the soil beneath other rooms he rented on the same property. ID cards and other possessions from people who disappeared years ago were found at the junk-filled home, suggesting the trail of killings may go back years. The number of bone fragments found underneath concrete floors at the suspect's home would imply the corpses may have been hacked into tiny pieces. That could make sense. The suspect, identified by prosecutors only as Andres, was formerly a butcher and, in fact, sectioned and filleted his last victim.
What are the odds?
But wait, there's more. This encapsulates like a couple of different kind of old serial killers into one story, and I don't want to say I'm excited, but I'm looking forward to what they find and what comes out of this. Okay.
Well, it's serendipitous considering I'm developing the Jeffrey Dahmer episode.
So. Yes. So, quote, the bone fragments are being subjected to lateralization studies, which include carefully cleaning each one, identifying what part of the body they are, and then placing them in their anatomical position, providing a method for determining the approximate number of victims, end quote, the office said in a statement. This analysis indicates that up to now, the bone fragments found may possibly be those of 17 people, the statement said. Authorities have not released the full name of the 72-year-old suspect under Mexican laws protecting a suspect's identity. Mm. He has been ordered to stand trial in the killing of his last victim. Everyone hold on. A 34-year-old woman whose body he allegedly dismembered with a butcher's hacksaw and knife on May 14th. May 14th of last month. He was caught not as a result of keen investigation work, but because his most recent alleged victim was the wife of a police commander who he knew personally. He was to have accompanied the victim on a shopping trip the day he disappeared, so her husband suspected him when she failed to return. The police officer gained access to police surveillance cameras showing his wife had entered but not left the street where the suspect lived. The policemen went to the home, confronted the suspect, and found his wife's hacked up body inside.
Wow.
But what investigators also found was women's clothing, voter IDs, and audio and videotape suggesting he may have recorded his victims. The format of the videotapes found at the house may suggest how far the killings went back. Authorities have found 28 8mm videotapes, which were discontinued around 2007, and 25 VHS cassettes, which largely fell out of favor in 2016. However, however, outdated tech formats often remain in use in Mexico after they have been abandoned in other countries. In total, prosecutors said they have found 91 photographs, many of the type people would have used to obtain ID cards, 8 cell phones, and women's jewelry and makeup. Prosecutors said they are still examining the bone fragments to see if they can extract any DNA to identify the victims.
Boom. Well, I mean, you know, a lot of people would say, well, you know, you really shouldn't protect his identity. But the thing is, one problem that often emerges is that an unbiased jury can be hard to find if the offender's been in the news a lot.
Yes.
And, you know, everyone's entitled to, you know, an unbiased.
That's a very good point. And I don't know if the laws are different in where he's being prosecuted, but that's a very, very good point, Morgan. And that's when a lot of the prosecutors, I'm sorry, not the prosecutors, the defendants will say, hey, my client didn't get a fair trial because this was all over. So that's a very good point I didn't even think of. I like that you brought that up.
Yeah, there have even been missed trials where they realized, you know, the jury knows everything about this guy. And that happened actually when Paul Bernardo was on trial.
Mm-hmm.
They had to impose a media blackout here in Canada, but American journalists kept covering it. And even though the internet was kind of still in its infancy, they still managed to publish a lot of the articles online.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Very, very good point. But how interesting is this case?
Yeah, well, they're saying, well, you know, he knew some of these people. Well, I mean, after all the serial killers I've read about, that doesn't stop any of them. They don't care. There's no sentimentality when they have an opportunity to kill someone. No, they'll go ahead and do it.
No, 100. But I just like that it was the police commander's wife.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't even, they weren't even investigating him. He wasn't even on their radar. It was just because he took the police commander's wife, who they had plans for a shopping trip, and she disappeared. So he's like, let me check out the surveillance cameras, went to his freaking house, and there's his wife splayed open. That's insane. Crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
This is going to be a future movie.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, this guy's going to be big in the true crime literature as soon as they start publicizing his name.
So I'll try to keep an eye on this story and give updates when they are exciting and come forth.
Okay, so my second story is it's in my neck of the woods, a local Toronto story, and it involves a clothing optional beach.
Hooray!
Yeah. So, and just in time for Pride Month, this is about a hate crime against gay people.
Ugh. So,
man 24 charged in suspected homophobic attack at Hanlon's Point. A 24-year-old man has been arrested for an alleged homophobic aggravated assault at Hanlon's Point 2 weeks ago. Toronto police say a man 24 and a woman 27 were walking to the ferry docks near Hanlon's Point around 11:30 p.m. So that area, they wouldn't be naked. So on June 5th, when they got into a disagreement with another group, A man in the group made homophobic slurs, and a woman grabbed one of the alleged victims. Two men from the group assaulted the 24-year-old man, leaving him with significant injuries. On Saturday, police arrested Elijah McGibbon, 24, of Toronto, and charged him with aggravated assault. Investigators are still looking for others involved. And there's a quote from Detective Constable Lauren Hassard. I want to make it clear that while we have successfully charged someone for their alleged involvement in the assault, our investigation doesn't stop here. This is a complex case, and we're still encouraging witnesses to come forward. In particular, we want to speak to two women who we believe were in the area at the time and are described as white, in their 20s, and with brown hair. This remains an active investigation. Maybe there aren't enough gay cops, you know?
So question, does Canada celebrate Pride Month as we do in June?
Oh, yeah. In fact, they had World Pride Day here in 2014. So that was a particularly big one. In fact, it was interesting because there was a rainstorm on the last day, and in dusk, there was like a rainbow in the sky. Two rainbows in the sky.
It was like you couldn't
have planned it better. It was almost like something out of a movie. But yeah, there's a big gay community here. But there is here,
and I'm a huge supporter. We have a pretty big community that I fully support in my area around Florida. So happy gay pride, everyone, LGBTQ+.
Lots of gay people and elderly people in Florida.
Absolutely. Some that are both. So
yeah, that's right.
Them as well.
In Key West, yeah. All right, so what's your second story?
My second story is... it's a hashtag Mother of the Year. And when I say that, I mean not Mother of the Year story.
Yeah.
This is a Texas story. Dallas, Texas. Troy Shea Moan Hall stabbed Madison Petrie 30-plus times. Yay.
Whoops.
Good times. Mm-hmm. Troy Shea Moan Hall, 23, stabbed Madison Petrie 7 more than 30 times on June 17th, 2021, according to an autopsy report. Hall is Petrie's mother, and they both lived in Dallas, Texas. Before stabbing Petrie that day, Hall stabbed a boy 16 who is her brother's friend. The brother and their mother tried to take the knife away from Hall. However, Hall was able to get away, then stabbed her daughter. A woman who witnessed the stabbings asked help from a neighbor who is a Dallas County Sheriff's deputy, according to Fox 4 News. After restraining Hall, the deputy took Petrie to a nearby fire station, which is the Dallas Fire and Rescue. Petrie was rushed to the Baylor University Medical Center in Dallas, where she was unfortunately pronounced dead, while the teenage boy Hall also stabbed survived. Just before 11 p.m., Hall was booked into the Lou Sterrett Justice Center in Dallas. On June 18, 2021, she was charged with capital murder and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, and her bond was set for $1.5 million. It was not the first time Hall was arrested. In May 2017, she used a knife to threaten her boyfriend, who was living in the apartment of his female cousin. A few days later, Hall forced her way into the apartment. She attacked her boyfriend's female cousin, who she thought was his new girlfriend. That's what we get for assuming.
Maybe where she's from, that's a common thing.
Texas. When Hall was arrested, she used her twin sister's name to identify herself to authorities. After pleading guilty to charges of aggravated assault and burglary of a habitation, she entered to 8 years of deterred adjudication probation. This story is very new, and she's still in custody with a $1.5 million bond. However, she is in Texas, so I find that her odds are very slim of getting a light sentence, and I'll keep y'all posted.
Yeah, they don't seem to have a lot of lenient judges down there.
Not when you stab your 7-year-old more than 30 times.
No, they're going to throw you on the grill. That's for
they're
sure.
They're going to, yeah, you're not going to do too well. So there's no motive or anything. This is very, very new. But I just wanted to let y'all know what was going on down in Texas and, you know, be a better mom than that. There's maybe some mental illness. However, maybe there's, I don't know. No one knows.
This chick could be the next Eileen Wuornos because most female murderers don't normally kill that many people. Maybe one, but yeah, that's it. She's got quite a body count. So this is like, it could be the new Eileen Wuornos. And she sounds like she's just as crazy too.
We'll see.
Okay. My next story is actually we've done a couple of these before. This is another one of these female teachers who had sex with one
God
of these.
God damn it!
It's a goddamn. This is a new pandemic. This is almost as bad as COVID.
Oh,
and for this story.
Speaking of teacher, remind me to tell you the hell that I went through the other day picking up my children after school on the last day of school. That's for later, but remind me because I have to get this story out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You go.
Sex-crazed teacher paid boy $500 to perform oral sex on her. Lawsuit. It's funny because I was thinking recently, like, women don't have to pay for sex. Men pay for sex. Well, this is an exception.
You actually said that on
our
podcast.
Yeah, that's right. A divorced New Jersey teacher allegedly treated her class of disabled students as her private harem. According to the Essex County Daily Voice, three more students have filed lawsuits against disgraced teacher Nicole Dufault and the Orange Maplewood School District. Dufault pleaded guilty in January to three counts of aggravated criminal sexual contact, on accusations she sexually assaulted six boys in 2013 and 2014. Now, according to a new lawsuit, the mom of I think there's some kind of typo here. The mom of her twisted antics came to light when a student shared a cell phone video of the teacher performing oral sex on one of the victims. One victim heard about a teacher who regularly had sex with students during clandestine lunches. Another boy was given expensive gifts, like Nike running shoes, and had his grades altered in exchange for sex. Mm-hmm. She showed boys in her class videos of her having sex with a janitor. Wow, this
what?
She really scrapes the bottom of the barrel, eh?
Oh, my.
And asked them about the size of their penises, the lawsuit said. According to the lawsuit, Dufault allegedly took the boy's virginity and raped him more than 200 times. Most of the abuse took place in her classroom. Once, she gave the boy $500 to perform oral sex on her. Another alleged victim said Dufault, whom the boys called Nikki. See, you people, it's not just Rachel or sometimes stumbles over words. I do this a lot, too.
Thanks, Morgan. Are you doing that for my sake? I appreciate it.
The editing process takes a while because of that. She sexted him and said she couldn't wait to, quote, give him oral sex, end quote. She also allegedly wanted to kill a female student because the boy was talking to her. He decided to get with someone his own age, and boy, she was outraged. So one student said he traded sex with Dufault so she would help him cut classes. In another instance, she allegedly called one boy to her class while supervising a student taking a makeup test. Dufault and the boy walked to her car where she told him, quote, take off your fucking pants! She then performed oral sex on the boy. Pretty unbelievable. And I think I saw a photo of her, too. She's not an ugly woman, so this
did is... Did you say earlier that these children were in a special needs?
Yeah, it didn't make clear what kind of disabilities these are, if they're physically disabled or mentally. But they the boys who were questioned seemed to understand what was going on, so maybe they were physically disabled.
This is, that's the most atrocious, disgusting, vile thing I think I've heard, and oof. I don't have words.
Yeah, I mean, even
I don't have words.
I had a male teacher who was fired when I was in high school for having an affair with a student, but it wasn't as bad as this.
200 times? That's in her classroom? She made them watch videos of her?
Oh, yeah.
How did this go on for so long? Where did this happen?
It happened over 2013 and 2014, but...
What state, though?
New Jersey.
Oh, shit.
Well, you know what's interesting about New Jersey, too? I think that's the only state left where, like, cousins can marry. Everybody would assume it would be, like, Alabama or something like that, but New Jersey is the last state where you can marry your own cousin.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's where they take all the garbage, too. Coincidence? I don't know.
If you gave me 10 guesses on what state that happened in, none of them would have been New Jersey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that'd be an excellent trivia question because most people would be wrong. So people give the people from the South a hard time about their presuppositions regarding incest, but
yeah,
New Jersey hasn't beat. So
it's pretty bad. That's really bad. On a scale of 1 to bad, that's horrendous.
You're going to be watching your son's teachers very closely, I'm sure.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
As a parent, are you able to, like, look into their backgrounds? Is that information available to you?
That's all public record.
Yeah. So you can... Yeah, I'm sure many parents probably do, so...
Absolutely.
All right, what's your next story?
So, this story I came across, it is from... Minnesota. The name, and I'm so sorry. I don't mean to make this is not a joke whatsoever, but let me read the caption first. It's a Minnesota woman allegedly shot and killed by ex-husband less than a week after getting remarried. Okay, which is really horrible, and I'm so sorry.
Somebody who knows how to hold a grudge?
Yes, correct. And then her new married name is Deatherage.
Deatherage?
D-E-A-T-H, Death, E-R-A-G-E, Deatherage. Oh. Deatherage. I'm sure it's Deatherage, but it's literally Death, E-Rage, the Deatherage.
Wow. Would never have happened in St. Olaf, where Rose Nylund's from.
No, see? Everyone needs to be from St. Thank you. Oh, Morgan with the... I love it when you do Golden Girls palette cleansers. It's my favorite. So let's get into it.
Yeah.
The body of Lori Deatherage, 48, was found by police inside her Robbinsdale home on Friday. This just happened, actually, literally this past Friday. A Minnesota woman was allegedly shot and killed by her ex-husband less than a week after she remarried. The body of Lori Deatherage, 48, was found inside her Robbinsdale home after police conducted a welfare check around 9:15 a.m., the Star Tribune reports. The Air Force veteran died from a gunshot wound to the head, according to the Hennepin County Medical Examiner. Quote, our time was cut short by an atrocious act, Lori's widower, Billy Deatherage, told the Star Tribune. Quote, we had been married less than a week. We were married less than a week before she was taken away from me. Police arrested a suspect in her murder around 9 p.m. that evening after a 10-hour standoff, according to the Star. The outlet reports that the 64-year-old man arrestee is the ex-husband of Lori. Lori's widower, Billy, told KTSP that her ex-husband attended their wedding, and Billy had spent time talking to him the day before their nuptials. Quote, he and I were out here the day prior with another friend of Lori's and conversed for almost 4 hours, Billy said. The Robbinsdale police didn't return calls for a comment. Charges are expected to be filed Tuesday. On the day of her June 13th wedding, Lori posted on her joy on Facebook, quote, "Can't wait to see who shows up today. Getting married on my birthday. I'll never forget the anniversary," end quote. Billy told the Star Tribune that he first met Lori 30 years ago at an Air Force base in Grand Forks, North Dakota, and they rekindled their friendship 4 years ago. Lori had plans to move to Arkansas to be with him. Lori described herself on Facebook as an artist, photographer, author, and a graphic designer. Billy said Lori, who also designed costumes for the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, had previously modeled and helped people who were struggling. Quote, "Lori was loved by literally hundreds and hundreds of people, and she touched so many lives in so many positive ways," he said. "She was a good soul." So that's really unfortunate. There's no motive behind that, but I'm sure it's just because he was really a jilted lover and she just got married and was super happy. And perhaps, well, he wasn't in the military. I guess her new husband and she were both ex-military. So, Air Force veterans. I'm very sorry for that family's loss.
Have you ever participated in Renaissance Fair?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is it?
I've gone all out.
Oh yeah, they can teach you how to sword fight, right?
Well, yeah, I was more into the cosplay. I think I've mentioned I've been into a little cosplay. My sisters and I were into cosplay and making our own costumes and all that kind of fun stuff. So, yeah, I've been to several Renaissance fairs. They're fun. Yeah.
Does anyone do, I guess they wouldn't do like true crime cosplay there?
I think our festival was the closest one, our ZombieCon festival, but then it turned into actual crime and they shut us down. So, no, but they do, let's see. They do like crime con. They have like crime con. They have cons for crime and stuff like, and true crime stuff like that. They do.
Are there people who dress up for that?
I'm sure there are. At any con you go to, there's going to be people who dress. There's just rules and regulations, especially when they're in an event center where you have to have weapons, you know, sheathed, or you can't have certain kinds of weapons, or they have to be displayed in a certain way, or they can't be real, obviously. So there's lots of precautions taken.
Yeah, your options would be limited. Because there's Eileen Warner.
Ours was a street festival, so we had. Yeah. Plus, we couldn't completely block it off, so that was it was a block party. We couldn't really. You can't stop people from coming into an open public area, unlike you can with a regular convention. So that was our issue.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. So my next story is, sadly, involves a baby being murdered by her own mother.
Oh, so, God. Woman
38 accused in heinous beating death of infant daughter. So she's from New York, and she's behind bars this week after she was charged with murder by authorities who alleged she severely injured her three-month-old daughter and failed to seek medical attention for the baby. People Magazine confirms Mabel Enid Rosado Delgado of Rochester faces one count of second-degree murder in the Sunday morning death of her daughter, Karen Victoria Castro Rosado. According to reports from WROC and WHAM and the Democrat and Chronicle, the mother, 38, appeared before Judge Thursday and entered a not guilty plea to the charge against her. "I didn't do it," she told through a Spanish-speaking interpreter on Thursday, appearing in court virtually from Monroe County Jail, where she is held without bail. The baby was pronounced dead at 11:15 a.m., 30 minutes after Rosado Delgado brought her to Rochester General Hospital, according to the Democrat and Chronicle. Her battered body showed obvious signs of trauma, and the autopsy determined the child died by homicide due to blunt force trauma. Rochester Police Captain Frank Umbrio told the outlet. So she's doing court Tuesday for another hearing. So,
Jesus. How old?
The baby is three months old? Yeah, 3 months.
Jesus. I just can't even fathom. Why? Why?
I don't know. Well, I don't know. I mean, some animals kill and eat their young. I don't know. Maybe we did that at one time. But there's a whole lot of shit we shouldn't be doing from, like, you know, 100,000 years ago. There's a lot of stuff we had to stop doing.
It's called evolution, folks.
Yeah. But not everyone...
Evolution. But it's, and then, like, there's also ways to fix that. So if you're feeling like you need to kill your infant daughter, the appropriate way to do that is by going to seek help. This is not an ad, but betterhelp.com, everyone. You can just go on and find a therapist or anybody else.
Or put the baby up for adoption, you know?
Something. Anything. Evolve. Don't kill it.
People who want to adopt, they always want babies. So she would have been adopted. But no killing. So what's your next...
Yeah, we don't kill babies. But that's a segue into my next story, which I found very interesting as well. Okay, so this is an influencer couple euthanized their dog and made some really disturbing posts about it.
Bad, bad, bad.
So this is the story, and then we'll discuss after. I don't know who these influencers are because I tend not to know who influencers are, but hey, that's just me. On Monday, popular YouTubers Nikki and Dan Phillippe shared some heartbreaking news. They made the decision to euthanize their 9-year-old bull terrier, Bowser. But Bowser was not sick or in pain or suffering from any incurable disease. No, the vloggers chose to end the life of their dog because he bit the couple's 1-year-old son, Logan, after the toddler tried to take some of the dog's food. Wait, it gets better. Quote, "I feel awkward just like opening this video," end quote, Nikki says, clearing her throat while sitting next to her teary-eyed husband. There is no cheery way to open this video, so we're here today to share with you what's been going on in our life," end quote. Nikki then proceeds to share that they put the dog, quote, to sleep on Friday, and that while the dog was our dog, it was really her husband's dog, and that she hesitated to even share their decision due to the possible reaction of the couple's fans. Quote, "People aren't going to get it. People aren't are going to be upset," Nikki said. And Dan's response was, "Nobody is going to be as upset as I am upset, or as upset as I am." Dan then jumped in to describe what happened. Quote, "For many, many years, for most of his life, he was an extremely dangerous animal outside of the walls of my house," end quote, he said. "He was definitely an outside animal that I had to keep inside." The couple claims that Bowser was attacked as a puppy and as a result became aggressive. Quote, "He would have put Bowser down a really, really long time ago, and several times have just been putting the day off," end quote, Dan said in the video. Quote, "He has seriously injured a couple different dogs," end quote. But the breaking point for the couple was when the dog bit their son. The couple shared that their son had previously hurt the dog's ear, and after another incident, the dog bit the child in the face. Dan admitted that it wasn't bad, and that their son was healing with a little mark on his face. The couple even said that the incident was a moment when the child stole food from the dog and the dog reacted defensively, but the damage was done. Both Nikki and Dan also claimed that the Humane Society told them that they could not rehome the dog and that euthanasia was the only option. They then decided to use a euthanasia service to have the dog put down at home, but not before the couple did a, quote, "goodbye photo shoot," end quote, with the dog. And yes, The dog posed next to the couple's one-year-old son. Nikki shared the photos on her Instagram, which has since gone private. But the breaking point, or I'm sorry, Here we go. So some of the reactions to the decision, which was swift and merciful, was add this to spreading deadly disinformation. Okay, I can't even, never mind. We'll skip to the next one. How sick do you have to be to take a photo shoot with your dangerously aggressive dog, knowing you're going to end his life? Your dog is so aggressive, but you have no issues putting the baby next to it for a pure little pre-murder photo shoot?
Yeah.
This is what a popular YouTuber said and tweeted. If the couple shared the family news in hopes of garnering sympathy, they definitely miscalculated the reaction of their audience. The moral of the story, for someone to go on the internet, it should have been easy to assume that if you kill your dog, people are going to have feelings about it. In other words, like the Netflix documentary Don't Fuck with Cats made very clear, don't fuck with pets.
Yeah, I mean, isn't there a law that states that if a dog does prove to be dangerous and bites someone, they can be put down for that by a veterinarian?
I wouldn't recommend, if you are an influencer, to go on to the internet and let your your public know that you have put the dog down by yourself because he has had a history of really aggressive behavior, and then do a photo shoot in which you sit your admittedly aggressive dog next to your one-year-old child for said photo shoot before you kill the dog.
Yeah, that's pretty sick.
I mean, just some friendly advice.
Yeah.
So that's probably the end of their
influencer
career, but hey, you know.
Who the hell's influenced by these fucking influencers anyway?
I don't fucking know. Morgan, and here goes my cat in the background.
Boy, you got to see this chick's photos on Instagram. Holy, changed my life.
Did you look it up?
Yeah, right. I didn't look it up, but I'm just saying, you know, this notion that they're
in. Oh, yeah, I know. It's ridiculous.
It's dumb.
I'm going to mute while you do, because my cat is yowling in the background, and I don't want the listeners to be offended by her yowling. She's 17, though, so she has a right. Yeah.
Some people go crazy with the dogs. Like, I can't remember her name, but she played. Did you watch The Sopranos?
Half. I didn't finish. Well, don't tell me.
The actress who played Adriana, she had two Dobermans and had them. They were both males, and she had them both neutered. And then she and her boyfriend that she was living with, they kept the testicles and put them in formaldehyde in a jar. And each one had a jar next to them on the bedside table in the bedroom. It's kind of weird, isn't it?
I mean, it's a little odd to keep your dog. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't.
I had a Doberman who I love very much, so it's my favorite breed of dogs, to be honest. And my dog passed of cancer, and I do have his ashes on my dresser, but not his testicles. That's a little too far for me.
Not interested in any of my pet's genitals.
Yeah, I don't want genitals sitting next to my.
No.
Can you imagine you look over and that's what you see before you go to sleep? That's just a little strange. Sorry.
Yeah, it's interesting that they got so comfortable with that. Yeah.
This is actually my last story.
Oh, okay.
And this is one that bothers me really, really bad and has been obviously a problem for a long time, since the dawn of fraternities. The headline is, another student died while pledging a frat. Will colleges finally take hazing seriously? So the story is, this was April, so end of April, very, very recent. Stone Fultz, 20 years old, did what countless students had done many times throughout their collegiate career, attended a fraternity party in the hopes that he would soon become a member accepted by his fraternity brothers, or, quote, bigs. But 3 days later, on March 7th, Fultz died in a nearby hospital. The cause? A fatal level of alcohol consumed during a hazing incident.
Well, you
Now,
mean they...
eight current and former students of Bowling Green State University and members of the Pi Kappa Alpha fraternity have been charged with various felony and misdemeanor crimes, including felony involuntary manslaughter, misdemeanor hazing, tampering with evidence, and reckless homicide, according to a report from the CBS News. Quote, Bowling Green State University is appreciative of the hard work and diligence done by the prosecutor and a grand jury to seek justice and hold those accountable in the tragic death of the student Stone Fultz, quote, the school said in a statement. According to Wood County Prosecuting Attorney Paul Dobson, who spoke during a press conference on Thursday, Fultz attended an off-campus fraternity party on March 4th, this past March. The party was meant to be a part of a process to initiate new members who would be introduced into their fraternity big brothers. It was there that the new members, most of whom were underage, according to CBS, were given a bottle of alcohol and told they must consume all of it, approximately 750 milliliters.
Shit.
Dobson said Fultz drank nearly all of the bottle, then was taken home by several fraternity members, including his assigned big, Jacob Crin. Here's the fucking best part. That's not in the, that's me, not the article. The members left Fultz alone until his roommate found him. His roommate called first responders and started to perform CPR prior to their arrival. Fultz was transported to the nearest hospital where he died 3 days later. Quote, obviously, I want this to be the only and last time that this kind type of case is prosecuted in Wood County, Dobson said during a press conference. And please, God, let it be the last time that it's prosecuted in the United States. The latest tragic hazing incident is far from the first to occur on college campuses across the country. According to 2008 national study, 73% of students involved or hoping to get involved in fraternities or sororities experience behaviors meeting the definition of hazing in order to join or maintain membership. The most common type of hazing, according to the same study, is participating in drinking games or binge drinking. Crin, who told Fultz home, took Fultz home and left him home, is the only student or former student to be charged with first-degree manslaughter, as he was more directly involved in the incident. I'll pause there and say yes.
Yeah.
If you have witnessed a child drinking that much alcohol and you go drop him off and leave him, your ass is responsible.
They must have given him like whiskey or something or scotch.
I don't give a shit what it was.
No, but I'm just saying, like, for him to drink that much of it and end up dead, it must have been like hard liquor. Beer wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I'm sure it was, because this hazing is out of control. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. So, if found guilty, Crin faces upwards to 19 years in prison for both crimes. He was also charged with felony assault. The seven additional defendants face a slew of charges ranging from third-degree felony manslaughter to obstructing justice, which will carry a maximum of 3 years in prison. Currently, none of the eight defendants have been detained, but have instead received a summons to appear in court on May 19th. Quote, we are living every parent's worst nightmare and will not be at peace until fraternity hazing is seen for what it truly is, abuse, Fultz's family said in a statement to CBS Ohio affiliate. Quote, it's unacceptable and in Stone's case, it was fatal. How many injuries and deaths will it take for the people in positions of power to do the right thing?
Did you?
I also say the same thing. It's bullshit.
Did you go to university? Did you go to university? Or
I did not.
Yeah.
So I went to 2 years of a community college, and then I stopped going because I progressed myself in my laboratory medical career. So.
Oh. Yeah, it's amazing the lengths these young people will go to get drunk. I mean, there's one trend for a while where you stick a tube up your ass and they like. Uh-huh. Put a funnel at the other end, and you can't.
That's probably still a thing.
Drink it.
But like, well, I mean, why are we doing this still in this day? Why is this still a thing? Think of something more intelligent than freaking getting blackout drunk. If you're so, you're at a university and you're in a fraternity and a sorority, freaking evolve, dude. This is sick.
Just do those like old timey initiation things, like wearing like a baby, like dressing like a baby with a rattle.
And going into public.
Yeah, something.
Yeah, this like is absurd. That. And you dropped this child off and left him for dead. That's just unacceptable. And I told you I was feisty and salty today, so I'm not apologizing.
Oh, that's okay. It's totally justifiable in that case.
Yeah. Fuck hazing. Bullshit.
Well, we got through the hour, and except for the sound issues we had at the beginning, Skype...
Sorry. Actually, okay, that was my fault.
Well, last week, Skype was really, really bad. And this week, it was actually pretty good, so...
Well, I think it might be my headphones that we're using, so maybe I'll use those from now on, because they do, even though they're like $35 headphones I bought on Amazon, they're pretty good.
Yeah,
they're noise canceling and not bad.
All right, gang, thank you for listening, and make sure to catch us on True Crime Would You Rather, which is almost like a kind of like a game show, only it's just the two of us and there are no prizes really, but it's all about the fun of the game.
I don't know if it's fun is the word, but it's going to be interesting, and I don't want any nonsense. I don't want any... If you don't want to listen to a really gruesome, horrible would-you-rathers, then don't fucking listen to it.
Exactly.